I also have podcasts if you want to listen to whatever, to the latest. I'm not sure how I'd like to introduce my husband and pastor, who will be bringing the message tonight, Pastor Brent Locker.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy New Year to you all as well. I don't know how many of you are here for either the first time or one of the first times, and I always kind of wonder that when Holy Spirit comes and people begin to laugh and sometimes cry and various things. But what I wanted to tell you is this, because I always know there's some people here who are either brand new or pretty new. I always tell people, if you're wondering about someone and why they're doing something, just go ask them later. Serious. Because they're the ones that will be able to tell you. You can just say, why were you doing that? Why were you, you know, why were you laughing? Why were you screaming? What was God doing? That's a totally legitimate question. And in a place like this, they'll be happy to answer you. The other thing I tell people is it's okay for you to question, to wonder if everything is God or not. Chances are everything is not God, actually. There's probably a combination of things going on. But here's how you can tell, is you look at the fruit. And that's what Jesus said. You can know a tree by its fruit. He said a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So how you know if it's the Lord or not? Sometimes it takes a little time, but you just watch someone's life, and you can tell. Is there more love? Is there more joy? Those are things that the enemy can't produce in people. So that's kind of how you know. Just thought I'd let you in on that secret that Jesus let us in on. As we start 2009, I would like to direct your attention back to, as Dan said already, the one thing. That's not where I'm going to spend the whole evening. That's just where I want to, just as we begin here, I want to remind you that when I was up on stage a little while ago, and I can't remember who said it now because it's all a blur already, in God's presence, just that thickness, as people have mentioned. But I remember somebody said something about the presence, just about being the one thing. And I was sitting there going, oh, that they were saying it's all about you. And I was going, oh, God, it is. It's all about you. It's not about a lot of the things we make it about. It's not about even how we think we're doing. It's just about Him. And the more we can gaze on Him, the more everything is okay. If we could just get it, it's so simple. But we get wrapped up in a whole lot of other things. And so a couple days ago, actually just through the blessing of a friend, God refocused my heart on that scripture, Psalm 27:4, the one thing scripture. And I just want to read it to you with a couple of translations. And I encourage, as I read this to you, to make this again your goal. It's all of our goals in Christ, but just to make it your goal again this year. God's into new things. Did you know that? He says, my mercies are new every morning. He likes new starts for us. He knows we need them. It's not for Him, it's for us. He knows, you know, new seasons, a new year. There's just something about it where for us it feels like the slate is wiped clean. We get to move ahead. Well, that's always true in Christ. That slate is always wiped clean in Christ. But sometimes we forget. And there's something about the day flipping over, or the month flipping over, or a year flipping over, that gives us new hope and new courage. And let me just read this, Psalm 27:4. It says, one thing. This is David. King David, you think he has a few things on his plate? A few things he has to do? Probably a few more things than we have to do? How about that? He says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now there's a guy who could be a lot of places, and he says, the one place I want to be is in the house of the Lord, not because of the building, but because obviously of the Lord himself. He says, God, wherever you are, that's where I want to be. And of course, we're living in the new covenant where the Lord is in us. We don't have to go to a building. He's in us. But he goes on to say, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's the King James Version. I'm going to give you about six or so versions here. So he wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. I don't know if you're visual, you could just close your eyes and take this in. But another translation says, to view the delightfulness of Yahweh. To enjoy the graciousness of Jehovah. Resting content in the Lord's goodness. To enjoy the sweetness of Yahweh. Or one last version, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord. And to consult him in his temple. And I want to tell you again, you don't have to go very far, because his temple is you. You can consult with him anytime you want to. He'd be really happy for you to consult him all the time. And then just following that, verses 5 and 6 in the Message Bible says, to enjoy God, to rest in his goodness, all these things we just said. This is the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world. The perfect getaway, far from the buzz of traffic. God holds my head and shoulders above all who try to pull me down. Some of you need to get a hold of this one right now. He holds your head and shoulders far above everyone and everything that's trying to get you down. That is the absolute truth. He is so good, and he is so able to do that, to keep you lifted up. So David says, because of that, I am headed for his place to offer anthems that will raise the roof. Already I'm singing God's songs. I am making music to God. So right now I want to declare over all of you and just pray for us that God, it is our heart's desire to make you the one thing. Your presence, God, your presence above everything else. It's the one thing that really matters. It's the one thing that keeps us sane. It's the one thing that brings us joy and peace. It's your presence, God. We cannot find it anywhere else. And you know, God, because you know us well, you know we try and try and try and try and try and try to find it other places. And the world tells us, look there and look there and look there, but it isn't any of those places. It's only in you. So God, this year, thank you for a new year. And this year, God, it is our heart's desire to seek after you, to enjoy your presence. Not just to seek, that would be really frustrating if all we got to do is seek. But we get to enjoy your goodness. We get to soak in your beauty. We get to gaze upon your loveliness. And that's what we choose to do, God. It's our choice. And God, I know there's going to be a lot of things that happen during the year, but it's our choice right now, because we can do that with our will. It's our choice, God, that we would do that every day of this year. That's our desire. And we're saying, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to do that. You're the great counselor who was given to us, the best friend we have. Help us. Lead us into the presence every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Several of you are still deep in it, so stay there. Tonight's going to be a family night of sorts, meaning just that I'm going to do things a little bit differently. A lot of times I will use PowerPoint, I'll go through some things. Tonight I want to just chat with you a little bit. We're in a little while we're going to tonight commission and anoint and release five people in as new elders, Blazing Fire. And I thought it was really appropriate and right that I would just share with you a little bit, a brief recap of the history of Blazing Fire. But also, I want to talk about a couple of principles. I will certainly read some scriptures as well, but I just want to let you know it's just going to be a little different than usual tonight. But those five people, I'll just let you know now. Most of you know because we've talked about it already, but it's Lonnie Ellis, who you saw just moments ago, Todd and Karina Lout, and Russ and Susan Folkler. And in just a moment, in a little while, we're all going to have an opportunity to bless them together. Blazing Fire began in November of 2001. And so we're relatively new, I guess. I guess it's all relative. For the first year, there was about 20 of us that met in a home. And we were in a living room. And yes, we did always meet on a Saturday night. Some people have said, do you do that? Do you meet on Saturday nights? Because, you know, because it's the only place, you know, we use different various facilities. It's the only place that's open. I said, no, that's my choice. I'm like, when we get our own place, I've told people we're still going to be Saturday nights. It's absolutely the culture of who we are. One of the reasons is because y'all know that that nighttime, especially Saturday night, that's party time. Hello, we got the best party in the universe. We have God is just he really is a partying God for those who know the truth and who want to party with him. He is awesome. So yeah, we've always met on Saturday nights. And after our humble beginnings in a home, we moved to Good News Family Fellowship. And as I share this, I know many of you kind of mark your beginning of Blazing Fire depending on where we were at the time. Because most of you weren't with us in that home, but a lot of you in this room started joining us when we were at Good News. That's in Dublin. And we've also been here twice. We've been here. We went over to Church on the Hill and then came back here. But in between all that, we also, for a little while, were at Parkway Baptist Church in Dublin. Church on the Hill is in San Ramon. And one summer, we didn't have a building to meet in, and so it was fun. We actually met in home groups all around the bay. Like 10 home groups sprung up overnight so that we could be out enjoying each other and the various parts of the bay. And then once a month, we met in a park in downtown Pleasanton. And you want to talk about favor. We were able to... I know how it happened. I was going to say, I don't know how it happened, but I know how it happened. God gave us favor. We actually had amplified music in downtown Pleasanton, you know, for just like this. I mean, we worshiped just like this. People were waving flags out in the park out there. It was wonderful. We actually, had a chance to minister to several people who were just walking on by. You know, who are you guys? What are you doing? You're different than people we've... And other Christians we've seen? Why, yes, we are. Thank you. We have always had a really strong desire to take all this good yumminess of God and go give it away out on the streets. And I really believe with all my heart that's one of the reasons why this is such a vibrant place. Because if the goal is only to take it in here and leave it here, not that that's horrible, but it's just there's just so much more. And when God sees you're willing to give it away, he goes, oh, good, I've got so much more to pour out on you because you know what to do with it. So we This was probably about 5 years ago still. Doug Addison, who was here a few weeks ago, got us out on the street. And we particularly went to one place, Hacienda Crossings in Dublin, in front of the Regal Theater. We actually went out every week. In fact, there was one summer where 1 week we went out every single night. And that was like a training ground for us. And we did, at the beginning, it was called Free Encouraging Words. We just learned how to hear God's voice and how to tell people basically what the Lord thinks of them, which is a whole lot better news than most people think. You know, people are afraid to hear from God because they think you're going to say something bad about them or about the things that where they're messing up in life. And we learned that God has got a lot of good things to say to people. And once you start telling them, they're very open. So we saw all kinds of amazing things. There was a time, and some of you remember this, it's still going on now, by the way. We're taking kind of a break because Marcus and Leona are close to having their fourth, right? Yes, fourth boy. There you are. So Marcus and Leona are the ones that lead it still every other week, but we're taking a break for a few months. But when we were out there, there was a time when we, we had like all in the same night. We would have teams that were giving these prophetic words. We would have a dream interpretation table going. We'd have prophetic art going. We were cleaning the bathrooms at Starbucks. We were buying pizza and giving it away to teenagers and telling them, you know, things that God thinks about them. We saw people filled with the Spirit all the time. One of my favorite stories, I'll make it the shortened version, is just a group of junior hires who were there and kind of messing around and saw us, and they were kind of making fun of us a little bit. And they overheard what I was saying about something, and they said, "Oh, we heard that Jesus got high on marijuana." And see, now when you have God's heart, you don't get offended at people. You just go with whatever He's doing. And I said, "Well, no, actually, I don't think He did, but He did get drunk in the Spirit." And all of a sudden, they went from smart alecky to, "Huh? What's that?" And I said, "Oh, well, it's just the Holy Spirit." Actually, I did not say that. I said, let's see. Oh, I said, "It feels really good." I said, "There's no hangover." I started telling them all about it. And they were like, "Can we have that?" And we said, "Sure you can." And so we began praying for the one that was kind of in charge, the ringleader. And within 30 seconds, he was going out under the power of the Spirit. And he was saying, "Oh, this is better than Bacardi." Honest truth, that's what he said. And after he experienced it for a while, I said to him, I just leaned down to him. I was not making a show of this at all. I just very, quietly, I just said, this is the Spirit of Jesus. Do you want him?" He's like, "Yeah." And so then I just said, "Well, all you got to say," and that's about how loud I'm talking. I said, "You just got to say, 'Jesus, I want you.'" And he goes, "Jesus, I want you." And I just basically led him little by little and accepted him. And we actually did the same thing with all the other guys. And several of them received the Lord. Some of them knew him, but did not know him. They didn't know him. They just knew about him. And so that's just one example of some crazy things that went on out there and that still go on. Some great things. And it just blows away all your boxes. You know, the things, the theology you think, well, someone can't experience the Holy Spirit before they receive Jesus, can they? Well, he just obviously did. Do you know that the Lord goes after each one of you, went after you long before you said yes to Him? So it's funny sometimes how our theology puts us in boxes and then we wonder why we're all hemmed in, you know? So that was a little sidelight there, but just to tell you, this has been a big part of our church. And now even today, we've got, you know, of course, outreaches in San Francisco and Oakland. And, of course, in Walmarts and Safeways all around the Bay. Wherever you are, that's where it's going on. So I love it. But I wanted to remind you, that's always been a really important thing. And Some other time too, I will give you a list of all the various people we support. But I want to let you know too that this church is very, very kingdom focused, and so whatever we can do to expand the kingdom, that's what we want to be doing. And so there are about 20 ministries that we give to quite regularly, most of them monthly. We've tried to bless people as much as we can, going on from this church, going on short-term missions and things like that. And kind of after the fact, we've never, I'm going to introduce our elders in a little bit, but as a leadership team, we've gone about things very differently than most do. We don't ahead of time say, well, we really ought to have a percentage that we give away. Instead, we just said, Lord, what do you want us to do? And we would just give as the Holy Spirit directed us. And the last several years, when we've looked back, it's usually been about 25 or 30% of everything that's come in, we give back away. And again, I'm not saying that's not boasting. It just is. It's a way of life. I talk about it all the time, how we have the heart of God, who is this extravagant giver. And the more he sees that we want to do with resources what he wants to do with it, he says, oh, good, then I'll give you tons more because you know what to do with it. So I'm just trying to give you a little glimpse of who we are. From the very start, we had 5 elders. And a little later on, I'm going to have them forward. But they were, it was myself, Suzanne, my wife, Dan and Amy Knight, and Carla, our worship leader. So this was, again, about 7 years ago when we started this church. So we're 5 elders. What I want to tell you is that we had gone through another experience that was difficult leading to this one. And so we had gone through the fire together. And there's something that happens in the fire. There's a forging. There's a bonding that happens. That's how relationships get deeper, because we also covenanted with each other, meaning we were in this for the long haul. Nobody was going to bolt if something happened. We laughed together. We had all kinds of great times together. But we've also cried together, and we've had some difficult things sometimes that we had to work through. And yet there was never, ever a sense of, gosh, I hope that so-and-so doesn't leave. It just wasn't like that. Let's see. After about 3 years of being together, these elders, we, at that point, 3 years into the church, we put together our very unique core values. And if you've never seen them, it's this brochure that's out on the table. But I highly encourage you to take a look at them. And what it is after several years, we realized something very, very special was going on. That this whole thing about wanting God's presence and being a place where we actually gave Holy Spirit permission to be himself, it was starting to have an effect on people. And we saw, as I mentioned already, all this fruit of people taking it out. But we stopped to ask the question, why is it so special? What's going on, really? So we actually made these after the fact, kind of just asking God, why is this so special? What's so important to us? And because a lot of times, sometimes people will put something together to say, this is what we want to be like. We're striving towards this. On our end, it was just the other way around. It was like, wow, these are the things that are really special to us. I'm going to read just the headings. We value intimacy with the one who loves us. We giving the Holy Spirit complete freedom to do whatever he wants to do. Underneath each one of these is bullets and scriptures and everything. We value an atmosphere of the Father's love, the finished work of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, an environment of grace, seeing the treasures in one another and causing each other to soar into our destinies, honoring one another, faith in the extravagant, generous heart of the Father, bringing the reality of the kingdom everywhere we go by undoing the works of the devil. One church under the headship of Jesus Christ, working together in the same spirit, bringing glory to the Father. Preparing warriors of all ages to live victoriously in the kingdom. And partnering with God to change history. So that's what we did about 3 years into it. About 5 years into this, which would be about 2 years ago, the elders decided that our church was starting to grow from this to this. It was getting bigger, and we had a very special thing going on, and we realized we needed a strong nucleus to keep this going, because more and more people were saying, hey, what's going on there? And we needed to make sure that these core values and what the Lord was doing here remained really strong and pure. And so at that point, we looked around to see those who were living out these core values in an exceptional way. And while there were many that we could have chosen, there were 10 in particular that the Lord had us choose to be the core leaders. And they were people, you would recognize them, I'm going to introduce them in just a minute, but you would recognize them as people that you could go to, you know, people that you could trust to really have the heart of the Father for you. And we spent time with them, pouring into them and living out these kingdom values with them over an extended period of time. Again, just to make sure that there was a group of people so that the more others come in, we still had integrity of what it is that God had us doing. So I want to I will just say this, that that's exactly what this group did. They absolutely kept those values intact, and each one of them now is diligently ministering in their own giftedness, and many of them overseeing ministries at the church. Some of them not. Some of them doing things outside of the church. They're still here, but they're doing things outside of the church where God has them. And so I wanted to take a moment to honor them. And again, like I said, there was 10 of them, and 5 of those 10 are ones that we're going to commission in a little bit as elders. But I want to have the other 5 stand up, if they would, where they are. And that's Bill Hernandez, who I saw back there. Could you stand up, Bill? Just stay up. Lonnie Longley. Sheila Purcell. And Art and Donna Fuller, who are usually sitting right about over here, but Art and Donna, unfortunately, they were really bummed. They really, really, really wanted to be here tonight. Donna got sick. Art has broken a tooth off that is very much in pain and has an appointment for a dentist. So anyway, I called them and prayed with them today, but they really, really wanted to be here. I just wanted to say to you three, I am so, so thankful. Really, honestly, you know, when the elders, when we just made these decisions, a lot of times the things we do here, we kind of do the next thing that the Holy Spirit tells us to do. We're not always real certain where it's all leading. We just, that's what He told us to do. That's what we're going to do. And I could say far and away that group of core leaders in that year and a half that we spent together was way exceeded my expectations of just the joy and the goodness of what God did through it. We had some really, really fun times. So I wanted to thank you and honor you. And they're still leaders in the church. Like I said, they're doing things, what God is calling them to do. But also, they're just ones that you can, now that you've seen who they are, they're just ones you can go to who are safe people, who are going to, you know, love you and give you the truth of what God thinks about you. So I wanted to thank you, and then I'm going to keep going now history-wise. A little bit after we had this core leader group come together, Amy Knight was one of the first of the 5 original elders. She really heard the voice of God and began following her heart to be an intercessor at the East Bay House of Prayer that's in Dublin. And, you know, among our core values, they're kind of in the bullets underneath as you read it, but it's really not our desire to hold on to people. We want them where God wants them, and that's always been a part of what we're trying to do. We're not trying to control people or manipulate them, which is why this is a really unique place where when Amy left, there was none of that weirdness or what did we do wrong or, you know, and it was just none of that. It was simply celebrating what God did. And I don't know, how many of you were there when the night when I walked her down the aisle? It wasn't that awesome? About half of you maybe. So over at the church on the hill, I literally took Amy and representing the father, representing her father, I just took her down the aisle in to meet her new family, and we had several people from East Bay House of Prayer that were up front to receive her. How different is that from, you know, the past? From the past way of doing things. When we really begin to live the kingdom life the way it's supposed to be, there doesn't have to be all these breaks of relationships and all this, you know, horrible pain. That's really not God's plan. And so that was Amy was the first to leave our group of five, and so the four of us kept going. Just to keep this in order, about 8 months ago, those of you who are here remember that Paul Manwaring came. From Bethel Church in Reading, and he spent a weekend with us, with the elder team, and then also with the core leaders, to help us to come to really solidify this amazing, wonderful thing that God's doing, to kind of put words to it, and to put a vision around it, and put some structure around it. We actually said the S word. We started talking about structure. But let me share with you the vision first. Most of you know it, but if you don't, this is what was so cool as he met with his team. He told us, he said, it's never been this easy. I've never met with a team where you guys are so much on the same page and, where he's just hearing the same things out of everybody's mouth. And so we came up with this vision. We are passionate lovers of God who are joyfully experiencing his goodness, fueling grace-based regional transformation as a kingdom equipping resource center and sending people to change the world. So that was just putting together several ideas that we all agreed upon. And then we also came up with a structure, which I put up, you know, on an overhead. I know you can't see this, but I put it up on an overhead and spoke about it again about 8 months ago or 6 months, whenever it was, 7 months ago. But we came up with four ministry areas, and they were one, first one was the family, a love and grace-based Blazing Fire family, and overseeing that is Todd and Karina Lout. Another area of ministry is the Kingdom Equipping Resource Center, so the raising up and training these revivalist leaders. So the first part is about taking care of people, healing them up. Then we want to do something. It's not just about being healed up. We want to train them up and raise them to be passionate, but do something with that passion. And Lonnie Ellis is the one that oversees that area of ministry. And the third one is regional and world impact. So, okay, we've healed them up. We're training them up. Now let's get them out there doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that whole area of ministry, the regional and world impact, is overseen by Russ and Susan Folkler. And then the last part is the administration, because there are a lot of things that have to happen for these things to take place. So administration facilitates God's kingdom here on earth. And she's not here right now, but that's my wife, Suzanne, who oversees that. And she's amazing. I can say it. She won't be as embarrassed if I say it when she's not here. She is. It's jaw-dropping sometimes how she can keep so many things in her head and remember and actually bring order to this. So that's just her gift. She's awesome. So he helped us to do that. At the same time, if you were here, I talked about Blazing Fire being an airport hub. That was just one of the images I used, that it's this place where all these people come in and out of, and you may be one of those airplanes here tonight that just comes in and docks and gets a little and then goes and takes it somewhere. That's great. We're totally okay with that. But there are some people who want to actually help us build this vision of this airport and actually maintain it so that we can service the planes coming in. And so for those that wanted to do that, that wanted to partner with us to... yes? That's okay. I just wanted to hear what the joke was. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, good. So for those who wanted to come alongside and help us with the vision, we do not have church membership, but we do have, this right here, a builders of this house. So we've just said to people, we don't have a lot of hoops for you to jump through. If you want in, you're in. How about that? Kind of like the kingdom. If you want in, you're in. That's the way the kingdom is. But it just says, I want to take part in fulfilling the vision of Blazing Fire Church and help to build this house. I belong here and I choose to be in covenant relationship with you, with the leaders of Blazing Fire Church, and with others in this family. So I commit my time, gifts, and resources to fulfilling the vision of this house, and I'm committed to fostering relationships of love, grace, and honor. So for those who want to, those are also in the back table. You can do that anytime you want. And if you don't want to, that's okay too. You can come and enjoy as much as you want. That's part of the uniqueness of Blazing Fire, that both is very okay with us. So continuing on the timeline, that was significant because we were bringing more structure, which actually was giving us room for more growth. It's the challenge is how people are amazed already that we can have a church with however many 200 to 300 people sitting here, and there can still be so much openness in the spirit. A lot of times, what happens is churches may start that way when they're small, maybe when they're in a home, and then the bigger it gets, they say, "Oh, we just couldn't do that anymore. Too many things happened, that weren't good or whatever." They just shut it down. We're discovering that as long as the core values remain intact, as long as we understand the love of the Father, the finished work of the cross, that we're going to speak treasures to each other, we're going to extend grace, as long as those core values keep swirling around, it's a very safe place. A very, very safe place. So that was an important time when Paul was with us. And so one of the things we did is the leaders of those four ministries, we gathered them together and we... called them our senior management team. And that team was actually separate from the elders, though there were times when we met together. Continuing on is, as most of you know, Carla, who was one of the four remaining elders, had a wonderful life-changing experience by... meeting Eric, who is not here tonight, but her fiancé now, Eric, and the two of them. She will be Mrs. Duncan in 6 months. She and Eric shared the very cool news a couple weeks ago. That was a special night. But she has asked to step out as an elder. And as we also announced, she's also transitioning over the next 6 months out as our worship leader. And Todd Lout, who leads worship often, and the pastor of our youth, or Wildfire, is going to be, the two of them are going to be working together, and he's going to be moving into that role as she begins to step aside for that role. As we've already said, it's our hope. I mean, God only knows what the future is, but it is absolutely our hope that Carla will still come and lead worship on occasion. It's just that she won't be the regular every week worship leader. So that's the plan. But again, there's bittersweetness in it. When we were talking to Carla, when she was sharing these things and we were starting to process it, there was crying that went on, I won't lie. But it's good tears. It's because, the times have been so good. And we've been on an incredible run. I'll say that this team, Carl and I and Dan and Amy, we've been together for 12 years, something like that, 12, 13 years. And 7 of those years with this church. And that's pretty amazing that you can have this tighter relationships and close and love for each other that goes on and on like that. And that even when the next things happen, it doesn't have to dissolve and all of a sudden be destroyed. We get to keep enjoying each other and being for each other, even if we're not elders together. So that's the kingdom. That is the kingdom. And so now we're going to, and in a few minutes, we're going to add five more elders to the three that are left, to myself, Suzanne, and Dan. Before we do that, I want to talk about a few more things. I want to talk about change. Suzanne and I used to say, all the time, we used to say, change is the only constant. It's like, when are things going to settle down? When will everything finally just stop changing? Well, the thing is, it won't. I was going to say even in heaven, but I'm not going there right now. But we know that God is the constant. But I will tell you, as Graham Cook often says, it's not in what God is doing; it's in who He is. If you're trying to have that constancy, that non-changing in what God is doing, forget about it. Remember, He's the author of the new things. He's always doing a new thing. He's the one out in front of us going, come on, come on, come on. It's new. It'll be good. Trust me. But His character never changes. That's the thing you can bank on. Absolutely bank on it. Look at Jesus' disciples. They had three amazing years with Him where they were, on the fast track, obviously, to growth. They were seeing astounding things. Some things they got, some things they didn't get yet. But think about it. After 3 years, Jesus says, oh, by the way, I won't be with you anymore. Say what? Talk about some change. The leader says, I'm gone. But it's okay. I'm going to send another one. He'll be really good to you. He'll be okay. And then they go, and as you very well know, if you read the book of Acts, they do some things together, but then they start going off in their own ways, their own directions. Why? Because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're doing what they were born to do. They did not band together as the 12, and say, okay, 12 and no more. We're the in-group, no more. They went off and did what they were supposed to do. And so I just want to tell you, change, that's the way it is. Things change. It's natural because did you know that things that are alive grow? That's just a hint there. So what do we do? What do we do with change? Well, I have a couple suggestions. One is enjoy the moment. I have people who long for, remember when it was like this? And I go, yeah, but look at this. Look at this now. Isn't this great? It's like parents. If your child's a baby and you're longing for the day when you can play catch with them or whatever, when they're older and you can do something with them, then you're not enjoying the moment. And then when they get older, if you're longing for the day back when they were so cute and didn't get in your face or something, No. That would never happen. But the point is the more you can enjoy every stage, you actually do enjoy it. It's like, wow, there's such neat people at this age. And it's the same thing with change. So whatever you're in, try to enjoy the moment. Because you know what? The Lord's in it with you. He really is. So enjoy the moment. Another thing as I already said, enjoy every stage along the way. And the final one is rest in God, because He's really good and He knows what He's doing. So even though it doesn't always make sense to you, even though when changes are happening around you, God says, it's okay. Just come rest right here. It's all going to be okay. I want to take a moment to define elders, since we're going to do this in a moment. We're going to appoint our elders in a moment. So Acts 14:23. Acts 14:23, this is where the disciples were going around. They were establishing churches. And it says in verse 23, in each of these churches, they appointed elders. And with prayer and fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had come to believe. I was going to go somewhere. I'm stopping myself. I'm going away from that rabbit trail. Before I go on, probably for most of you in this room, I don't need to say this, but maybe for a few of you, I do. It probably hasn't escaped most of your notice that of our original five, three of them were female. And of, let's see now, I've really got to do the math quickly. Of the eight, I think it's four, if I'm doing my math correctly. I think it's four of the eight will be female. And thank you for that amen. Like I said, for most of you here, I really don't need to explain this, but I will, in case some of you don't understand why we would do such a thing. Let me just start by saying, I actually thought about this earlier tonight, that there is a time in church history, and in some churches that would even be today, where Carla would not be allowed to be a worship leader. Because how could a female lead you into the presence of God? I'm just telling you the truth. And it comes from well-meaning people who say, well, but the scripture says, you know, like one of them, the overseer, the husband of but one wife. Well, that's true because in that culture, the men were the ones that led. So it'd be really silly to say the wife, you know what I'm saying, to say the opposite. I'm sorry, I did say the opposite, huh? The wife of one, wait. A husband has one wife is what I'm trying to say. An overseer, the husband has one wife. So it would be silly to say the wife has one husband when in that culture that it wouldn't make any sense. But we see in Galatians 3:28, there can be neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So the reason why we had three, let me just say this, the reason why we had three females out of five had nothing to do with the fact that they were female either. It was because those were the five that made the most sense. We were the five that had that authority that God had given to oversee this. It's just the way it was. And because of that, what you've seen in this church, even tonight, you know, those that have gone up here, you've seen many women preach up here. And I don't think about, oh gosh, okay, we haven't had a woman in a while. I really, that doesn't even cross my mind. It's like, who does God want to speak? Who's got the word? And because of that, I see, because of that culture, many of you have come into this and you haven't even thought about it, really. It's just the way it is because we don't mention it. But because of that, especially if you're a woman, you've probably experienced more freedom than you've had in other places if that was not the case. So I could go into great, great detail, and I'm happy to do so if someone wants to know more. I just thought I would take a moment to say something about that in case you were wondering. 1 Peter 5, and I'll just say this, that whole thing about a good tree can't bear bad fruit and a bad tree can't bear good fruit, I would think that if the Lord had a really big problem with us having female elders, I would think this church would not be doing so well. Just a thought. First Peter 5. Rather than read the qualifications of elder, which you can certainly do, it's in Titus, it's in First Timothy. But I want to read to you what they're supposed to do. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. I urge the elders among you, as a fellow elder myself and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and as one who is to have a share in the glory that is to be revealed, give a shepherd's care to the flock that is entrusted to you. Watch over it, not simply as a duty, but gladly, as God wants, not greedy for money, but because you are eager to do it. Do not lord it over the group which is in your charge, but be an example for the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will be given the unfading crown of glory. That's one of the best descriptions I know of in the scripture of what an elder is to be. Whenever, at various times, we are required, because the Holy Spirit directs us, we're required to start making some choices about gathering core leaders, for example, choosing elders. And I just want to say that whenever we do that, there may be people who don't understand, maybe people who get hurt and say, gosh, why wasn't it me? Sometimes it's the hurt and pain of past rejection and things, and oh gosh, see, I didn't measure up again, I wasn't good enough. I just want to tell you that has nothing to do with this. And that's not the kingdom. The kingdom is never about jockeying for position. It's not about trying to climb a ladder, because you know what? That's not the way the kingdom works. There's one in charge, that's Jesus. This is a monarchy, right? And it's really, as we said earlier, it is all about Him. So it's about each one of us finding our right places and getting in those places. That's really what this is about. And sometimes we need help from each other to figure out what those places are. But I want to tell you that of these five that we're going to appoint tonight as elders, not a single one of them strived for this. They didn't ask for it. They really didn't. They never once asked. In fact, some of them are like, oh boy. Because we've even talked about this. With this comes a lot of increased responsibility. That the Lord, you know, it doesn't take lightly. And so, but I want to say to you that if you are sometimes feeling hurt or pain or rejection or anything when these kind of things happen, first of all, that's okay. It really is. It's okay. Go ahead and be real with it and talk to God about it. Say, God, where is this coming from? And if you need to, talk to me or talk to someone else. Because you know what? When the enemy is trying to do this thing on all of us, to get us pitted against each other. He does it all the time. It's so old. It's just old. Unfortunately, it keeps working at times, but it's just old. So one of the best things you can do, actually, if you're feeling even anything in your heart, jealousy, anything, one of the best things you could do is just go up and bless that person. Go up and affirm them. Because what it does is it just takes all the fuel out of the enemy's plans to try to bring destruction. But if you need to talk about it, if it really is still bothering you, go ahead. I mean, seriously, just talk to one of us and say, this is what I'm feeling in my heart. I wish I wasn't, but this is what I'm feeling. That's so okay. In Romans 12, God says that He gives every single one of us different measures of faith. That word is metron. That means different spheres of influence. With whatever gifts He has chosen to give you. Notice this is all about Him. The gifts He's given you, the measures, the metrons, the spheres of influence. Some of you are supposed to influence this many. Some of you are supposed to influence that many. Some of you are supposed to be in a more church setting, believers. Some of you are not supposed to. That's not your main sphere of influence. And if you are trying to make this your sphere of influence, you would actually be missing what God created you to do. Some of you are supposed to be out there in the world, in where you're working, in the schools, doing things that we can't do here. Does that make sense? And so, but unfortunately, because a lot of us haven't understood this, we've made church leadership like the pinnacle, like you've arrived. That is absolutely just not true. It's about everybody being in the right place. I want to read one thing Jesus said in Matthew 20, verses 20 to 28. He said, this is where the mother of Zebedee's sons came to make a request of Jesus. And they bowed low The mother of Zebedee's sons came with her sons to make a request of Jesus and bowed low. And Jesus said to her, what is it that you want? She said to him, promise that these two sons of mine may sit one at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom. Jesus answered, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink? And they replied, "We can," which is funny because they had no idea what they were saying. They didn't know his cup was the cross. But he said to them, "Very well, you shall drink my cup," which they did later on in life. "But as for the seats at my right hand and my left, these are not mine to grant. They belong to those whom they have been allotted to by my Father." Sometimes we don't like hearing things like that because it's like, well, that's not fair. You know what? Is Jesus coming and dying for us fair? I don't think so. I think we got the great end of the deal. I don't think we got fair at all. But there, God does have his reasons, his choices. I can tell you that for a lot of my life, I was never on a track to be a pastor. I had no desire. I wasn't thinking of that at all until God lassoed me and said, "Son, over here." King David, he was not looking to be a king. You know, and that this is all in 1 Samuel 16. In fact, you know, of course, when they come looking for him, they can't even find him because he's the littlest one. He's out on the fields. He's out doing what he wants to do. He says, no, there's one more. Go get him. They bring David in and God says, "I don't look at the outward things, I look at the heart." But all I'm saying is that was God's choice. That's the way it is. There's no other explanation except that's just the way it is. So as I said, everyone getting in the right places for the good of the whole. This is where because we have low self-esteem before we know Christ, before we know who we are, a lot of what we're doing here is we're trying to build people up and say, "You're awesome. You can do anything that you and Christ together can do anything." You know, we're trying to build you up, which is absolutely right. But sometimes we forget it's for the good of the whole body. And sometimes we get into just, I want advancement. Well, no, it's not about your advancement. It's about the good of the body. For those of you who are Trekkies out there, it's the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. Come on. That's Spock right there. Star Trek 2. But it's true. It's true. They got it. I don't. Did he know Jesus? I don't know, but he got it. All right. So I already said the kingdom is not a hierarchy the way we think of it. Lonnie Longley a little while ago said God gave her this picture of it was myself and Suzanne right in the middle, and it was as I recall it was kind of like if you in my mind if you could imagine what one of those atoms looks like, you know, with things flying around here in around the center, that's kind of what's going on here. It's not so much about this hierarchical thing that we're thinking of. It's about people zipping in and around, getting the stuff and going back out and in and around. It's much more fluid than we think. The kingdom is much more fluid than we think. Yeah, like that. So if the enemy tries to make you feel rejected, I want to share with you Luke 15:31, where the Father says to each one of you, "My son, my daughter, you are with me always, and all that I have is yours." There you go. That's the final word. When Carla came to us and said that she was leaving as elders, I will tell you this, a couple of months before we heard that news, I already knew in my heart that the people that the senior management team that we had gathered, I just knew that they were going to be our elders. So, in other words, this wasn't a reaction to, "Oh, shoot, we have spots to fill." It wasn't about that. But when this happened, the timing became really obvious. And so when Carla told me that, I had a really strong vision in my mind about this. And that is this first elder team, the first five that I talked to you about, They were like the liftoff, you know, of a rocket, that first stage. And let me tell you, it takes lots of force to get that thing off the ground, to get it going up and shoot it through the atmosphere. Then once it's out there, as you know, it drops off, and the next one kicks in to give it more fuel, but also direction, to go fine-tuning it a little bit. And that's what I feel like we're doing here tonight. I totally honor that for, I mean, man, to get that much weight off the ground, that's tremendous. And for God's purposes, we're moving on to that next stage. I want to go ahead and show the video. This is from Apollo 13. Awesome. Well, that is a very real picture of course, Holy Spirit's in all of that. We can't do a thing apart from Him, but it requires people who are willing to go for it. Who are saying, we've had so many words about this church being the forerunners, being, you know, that ship through the ice that others can follow through. All kinds of words like that. But it requires a group of people who are saying, you know, we're totally committed to that vision, to keep going after God no matter what. And so with that, I just really want to honor our original elder team and ask that they would come up right now. So, the kingdom is so much about honor. Things do change, but yet we can keep honoring. We can keep celebrating the past and anticipating the future. Those are both kingdom principles. So, just to make sure you put everyone with the right face, this is Carla, Amy, and Dan Knight. And my bride, Suzanne. So this is the gang that spent many nights together praying. I can tell you something. When there's a covenant together the way God had intended, there's power in that. And I can remember times once we locked onto God's heart on something, when we agreed, it was as good as done. I can tell you some amazing things, but God, there's something about coming together united that is so, so powerful. Is there anything that you guys want to add before we bring up the others? Is there anything you want to add to our journey at all? Okay. All right.
Thank you, team.
Thank you. Yeah. Amen to that. So, because change is a part of life, and because we get to also anticipate the future with expectations in our hearts, I want to ask that Russ and Susan Folkler would come up, and Lonnie Ellis and Todd and Karina Lau would come up. You know, it took us a decade and a half to develop the relationships that we have, the original five, and these others we have definitely developed a deep relationship with them over probably about the last four or five years. So we know them well, we really do, but I look forward to knowing them much better, that we will keep going to deeper places. And you really can't go deeper places with people until you go through the stuff together. You know, there's things that are going to come up that we're going to have to go through together. And when we do, and because that covenant of love is established first, then you do go deeper places together. A lot of times we want depth in relationship without going through hard things, and that doesn't happen. So there's going to be a lot more good things than hard, if the past is any indication. But I just wanted to say that. So why doesn't our team come this way? Or I'm sorry, the original elders, if you come up this way. Because I want them to be the ones that others can see. And let me just say to you that as we talked over the years, actually, that we were clearly led by the Holy Spirit tonight to commission you and empower you as elders, because we have seen this in each one of you. We have seen a sustained, passionate heart for Jesus. We have seen a growing understanding of the Father's love and grace to a degree that you are able to consistently give it away. We have seen a life that continually lives out the unique core values of Blazing Fire Church. We have seen genuine compassion for God's most precious treasure, His children. And we have seen in you a desire to see them healed up and moving into their destinies. And we have seen growing wisdom in you to help oversee this move of God that is spanning the globe. There's a couple of scriptures I want to read to you. Do you want to read yours now, Dan? Yeah. You really want to wait? Okay. I want to read to you one more time. I'm going to start with Romans 12, 9 through 13. It says, let love be without any pretense. Avoid what is evil. Stick to what is good. In brotherly love, let your feelings of deep affection for one another come to expression and regard others as more important than yourself. In the service of the Lord, work not half-heartedly, but with conscientiousness and an eager spirit. Be joyful in hope. Persevere in hardship. Keep praying regularly. Share with any of God's holy people who are in need, and look for opportunities to be hospitable. And I want to read to you one more time, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. That's the one that I already read, where Peter says, I urge the elders among you, as a fellow elder myself and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and as one who is to have a share in the glory that is to be revealed, give a shepherd's care for the flock of God that is entrusted to you. Watch over it, not simply as a duty, but gladly, as God wants, not greedy for money, but because you are eager to do it. Do not lord it over the group which is in your charge, but be an example for the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will be given the unfading crown of glory. And one last one is Acts 20, 28. that says, be on your guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you the guardians, to feed the church of God, which he bought with the blood of his own son. Thank you. So what we'd like to do now is to anoint every single one of you. And I know that I really want to do this individually, just with each one. I know that in the spirit, I know that there, not only, of course, the Lord is here and there are angels present. There are assignments that will even be released here tonight as you move into this next phase of the journey that God has for you. So we're just start right here with you, Lonnie. And if you all would come up and join me. And I'm going to just declare some things, but if you have anything you want to say over him, please. So Lonnie Ellis, child of God, prince in the kingdom. We agree with God's choice, Lonnie, that you are to be an elder of Blazing Fire Church. We commission you to oversee, to help oversee and lead the flock. We empower you with God's Spirit and his wisdom to do just that. We welcome you as an elder of Blazing Fire Church. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah, anything?
Lonnie, I just want to declare over you just the words I keep hearing over and over again, which is the Lord saying, behold, here is one in whom I can place my trust. Here is one in whom I can place my trust. He has been faithful in obeying me immediately and quickly and often. And so, Lonnie, I just commend you to the Father and thank you for the courage you display in doing whatever he calls you to do whenever he calls you to do it. So.
Lonnie, I just see such an expansion in your heart and in your inner man that God's been taking you through so much, but it's all to the glory of God, because there's such an expansion in your inner man through everything that you've been going through. And I just want to say, in regards to Lonnie Jr., I just feel God's heart, like he's so pleased with how he has been, his response through all of what he's been through. His response is, I can't believe how much God loves me. And that response is like the most amazing treasure to God. It's the most amazing treasure that it's huge. It's beyond what words can describe. His response could be so many other things than that, but it's, I can't believe how much God loves me. And we do just contend and believe totally for Lonnie Jr.'s perfect health. And I just want to have everyone just extend their hand right now. And we do just pray that Lonnie be in proxy for Lonnie Jr. We do just pray in the name of Jesus.
Oh!
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 Oh! That every cancer cell would be obliterated. Oh! And he would come to perfect and complete health. Perfect health over that boy. Perfect health in Jesus' name. Ha! And God, we thank you for manifesting your glory.
Oh! Oh!
Oh! Oh! Thank you, God, for manifesting your glory in so many ways through this, God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you in Jesus' name. And we do just honor Lonnie as an elder of Blazing Fire Church. We honor him. We thank you for your choice, God, in Jesus' name. Ho.
Man. That's the power I was talking about. Telling you. We're going on. There's no easy way to do this except we're moving on. Can I get someone to turn on the air there? I know a lot of you are doing this, so please. Thank you. Someone who knows how to do that. Oh. Cranial out. Amazing child of the King. We commission you, appoint you, and anoint you as elder of Blazing Fire Church. Wow. We agree with God's choice. We affirm who you are. As a lover of Jesus and a lover of people. And we empower you. We empower you to help us oversee this flock in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
We just pray now in the name of Jesus. Let the Spirit of Christ fill you with the Spirit of wisdom and counsel. Spirit of wisdom and counsel to be able to help steer, to be able to have insights into the things of the Spirit and into the workings, Lord, of your kingdom in regards to blazing fire. In the name of Jesus, we bless you.
Father, I pray this vision that I get, Karina, may seem odd to you, but I just see such a loving boldness coming over you. I see such a loving boldness, a lion-like commitment to truth and to love and to direction and to sticking with the plumb line of righteousness and truth. I just see this boldness on you that is maybe going to be a surprise to everybody except you. And so, Lord, I just affirm that in Karina. I just affirm that with the wisdom and with the discernment that you provide, Lord, that you provide that boldness, that smiling confidence. That smiling confidence that you have, Jesus, that she just characterizes it. Just Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
You're right. Thank you.
Todd Benjamin Lout, amazing, amazing man of God. Amazing child of the King. I anoint you and commission you and empower you as an elder of Blazing Fire Church. Wow. We agree with God's choice. That he has made you able. He has qualified you, Todd. No limits for you. And we do empower you.
God, you have placed him in a position for such a time as this. You've placed him in a certain place for such a time as this, God. Because you have a plan and a purpose. So, God, I pray that he would be able to fully embrace, God, what you have for him and be affirmed and confirmed in it. In Jesus' name. And the Lord wants to just remind you that there's a mantle that comes with this. And there's, because of the mantle, there's grace to do the job. There's grace to do it. Yeah. And I just see kingdom strategies coming to you and ideas and even more creativity. But along with the creativity comes the strategies on how to bring those things to pass. Not just creativity, but the structure that goes with that. The outline and how to do it. And so I just bless you, Todd. I thank you for the mantle and the great, great resources that he is now imparting to you to do this, that he's called you to do.
Amen. That's good. That's really good. Amen. So be it. Oh. Susan Folkler. Wow. Child of the King. Oh. We commission you and appoint you and release you to be an elder of Blazing Fire Church. We agree, Susan, that this is God's choice. We're affirming His choice. His choice. Oh, His choice. Wow. And we empower you. We empower you to help us oversee the flock. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, God. I want to pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, God, to rest even in greater measure. Even in greater measure, God, that you would just give her the wisdom and revelation from heaven, that she would have your heart, God, as she does in great measure already, God. But just bring an increase to her inner man. Bring an increase in that place, God. Just increase. Ha.
Father, I thank you so much for the spirit of humility and a contrite spirit, Lord, that she walks in. And Lord, I know that you just dance over that. You just delight in that. And I thank you, Father, for that, and ask you that you just affirm that. And in the midst of that, Lord, that you provide, again, your wisdom. I agree with that, your wisdom and your understanding.
Just on a practical level, Susan, I just see the Lord strengthening you and strengthening your body, and giving you energy. And there might be times when you might think, gee, I just worked all day and now there's a meeting and this and that. But the Lord saying, I'm giving you the strength to do it. I'm giving you the strength. In fact, you're going to have energy. And it's almost like this wind-up thing back here that the Lord's going to wind you up. And you're just going to go and go. And so we just bless that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the energy.
Amen. There you go. Perfect. Oh. It's thick. Russ Folkler, child of the King, amazing man of God. I anoint you and appoint you and commission you as an elder of Blazing Fire Church. Rest, the Lord has been preparing you for this for a while, and there's more to come. So we bless you. And we release you to shepherd the flock with us in Jesus' name.
Russ, I so appreciate the pastor's heart that you have, and I bless that in the name of Jesus. But I was just seeing something really, really precious. You know, you minister to the body of Christ, but the Lord showed me you finding the people in the corners and the people hidden in the closets and those that would want to hide and those hurting and hiding behind this and that. And the Lord shows you them, and you go and get them, and you speak into them, and you call out the treasures in those ones. And so I bless that ministry that you have, Russ. It's so precious and so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Thank you.
Just with that, Russ, I also see you as a person who is able to be trusted with secrets. And so you're somebody who's approachable, and the deep things that are sometimes hidden from everybody else can be shared with you because you're a trusted brother and a trusted friend.
That's good.
Just agree with both of those words so much. Just such high integrity. And there's also just such an... just even earlier tonight, Russ was praying for me out in the foyer, and I could just feel such a strong, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's kind of like Doug Addison. There's just a very strong evangelistic outreach thing on you, and so I just want to bless that too, that God, that you would keep sending him, because I feel like there's a whole flock out there that doesn't know Jesus yet, but they're your sheep. Ha! Ho! Keep sending him, God. Sending him. This is for Susan, too. Send them out, God, even more. Send them. And I even get that biblical passage where they laid hands on Paul and Timothy and sent them out. Ha! So keep sending them, God. Sending them. I see many, many, many sheep and a flock out there that you will gather into your arms. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. God's choice. All right, we have just a couple more things we want to say to you. We're really almost done here. So Dan had a scripture he wanted to read.
Yeah, I did. I just the Lord spoke this verse to me like 2 weeks ago, and it's been real precious. So I just want to recommend it to you as a verse for this time and this hour. I think it's really important. One of the key characteristics of Blazing Fire has been this coming back to love at the foundation of all things. We've seen amazing prophecies fulfilled. We've seen amazing healings. We've seen amazing outreaches and amazing transformations of people. And in the midst of that, have sort of really depended on the Corinthians 13. You know, if it's that's fine, but if there's many words, if there's prophecies that are healing, and there is not love, it's like a clanging gong and a clashing cymbal. And so love has been at the foundation of all that we as a church do, and it's something we commit to maintaining even as the future goes, regardless of how history unfolds. And so I just want to commission you elders with Philippians 1:9-11. And so Paul is praying this to the Philippians, and he's applying it to you too. I'm sure he was thinking of you at that time as well. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So I just want to commend you to keep that plumb line of love in the midst of knowledge and all discernment.
And we have two blessings to read over you from two of our fathers at Bethel Church. And the first is going to be from Paul Manwaring that Suzanne's going to read.
It is my heart's desire to see the fullness of the kingdom of heaven on earth, and I know that it is yours too. The establishment of heaven's relational government on earth is a major part of bringing in that fullness. What you are doing today is very important. I have greatly enjoyed my relationship with Blazing Fire and with Brent and Suzanne and their passion for the increase of the kingdom, and I am so encouraged by the steps which you are all taking today. I believe that government structure is always followed by increase. As you move forward as a church and ministry, I want to add my blessing to those who have blessed you before, and in blessing you, pray that the revival which you all are experiencing will be passed to the generations to come and know nothing but increase. As you position yourselves to lead and in so doing confirm your willingness to be in submission to fathers and mothers, you are about to see a greater revelation of His glory. Never forget, God really is in a good mood. Nothing is impossible. Jesus has won absolute victory, and each of you are significant in the role which you have at this great season in history. With great affection, Paul Manwaring.
And as you could tell, that blessing was also for you. There was parts that were for the whole church. And the same, this one is from Bill Johnson. And this is also for all of us. So he says, Brent and Suzanne and elders and Blazing Fire Church, Happy New Year. I pray this is your best yet. This is to be a year of breakthrough. I pray that you and your elder team will lead the way with joy, and will have laser beam accuracy in your steps of obedience and expressions of faith. I also pray that this year will be a year where more territory is taken in prayer, and that your city and the Bay Area region rejoices because you, the righteous, have increased. Much love to you all, Bill. That's for all of you. If you had a word for one of these, I do encourage that you would let them know, as long as it's of the encouraging kind. Because there's too many of you. I know we would be here all night, which wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. But also, if tonight you received a word for Blazing Fire that you think is just more corporate and you would like to send it to me, I will be more than happy to read it. And depending on what the Lord says, there's times when I'll put it in newsletters. I might speak it out at a church service. It may just be for me to pray. But I do encourage that if you have anything tonight. I want to make sure you understand you are participants in this, even though you weren't able to be up here tonight. I wanted to ask that if in just a moment I'm going to have the original elders, the current elders, which is a mix of both, and the core leaders to come up, and we will pray and bless those that would like that. Before we do that, I want to do one last thing. I want to ask that you would pray for us. I'm going to ask that Amy and Carla would lead that, because I want Suzanne and Dan and I to stand up here with them because we are the new team. I'd like to ask if you two would just lead that, and if you would all agree. I want to remind you that we are not perfect. That's really important that you hear that. That We are totally in love with Jesus. We're going after him with all we got. We got our own stuff that he's working out. So we need your prayer. We need your grace. We need your affirmation just as much as you need it from us. So please, please remember that. And by God's grace, we will lead with his integrity. So if you, Dan and Suzanne, if you come up here.
What did you say?
Maybe have him stand, you think, or not?
Yeah. If you want to just stand up, you can extend your hands and we'll just agree corporately in prayer. And I just would like to say too that this was really easy tonight to do this because I so believe in all of these people. And each one of them is so handpicked by God. So this was so easy to do, to bless. And so God, we just all together, we extend our hands to these eight elders of Blazing Fire Church, God, and we say yes to you, yes to your plan and purposes for Blazing Fire, God, yes, the things that you would put in their hearts, God, even for the future, how the rocket is going to go to the next level, God, it's going to become more defined and go to that place where you want it to go, God. We just pray, God, for the command module in that rocket, God, and that you would have your way, Holy Spirit would have the steering wheel, and you would have your way, God, in everything that you do, and you would manifest your glory, God. Manifest your glory in Jesus' name.
Yes, God. We do. We bless you in the name of Jesus, and I see love, 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 being the oil, being the thing that's between all of you. And we just thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're doing, the direction, the ideas that are going to come to them, the kingdom ideas, and what you're doing and how you're leading this body into the destiny, Lord, that you have for them. And we say yes to that. Yes, Lord. And we agree with your choice, Lord. And we as a body, as you bring them to mind, Lord, we will pray for them. Lord, we will cover them with our prayers, Lord, as you remind us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. I want to remind all of you that we are all going to higher places, all of us, every single person in this room. It is absolutely the Lord's heart for you to go in deeper into his heart and for him to take you higher and higher in the things of the kingdom. And that's his heart. That's his promise. The only way we don't go is if we don't want to go. That's really it. Otherwise, we're going. So I declare that over all of you, that this year, 2009, is a year for you to go deeper into the Father's heart and higher and higher and higher up into the things of the kingdom, into his kingdom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If Lonnie and Bill and Sheila, if you want to come up and join us, we're just going to fan out across and again, if you had a word and you wanted to share it, you can, but just be mindful if there's a lot of people in line not to take a real long time so that others can. But if you just wanted to receive prayer, you are more than welcome to come up and we'll pray for you. God bless you.